There once was a boy who was tending his father's flocks. Now his brothers had done some unethical things, and this boy reported of them to his father. Now this father loved this boy more than any of his other sons, and he made for him an ornate robe of many colors, a symbol of royalty, wealth. Now the brothers saw that their father loved this boy more than them, and they saw how he favored him, and they hated him for it. And they could not even speak a kind word of him. One day, God gave this boy a dream, and then he gave him another dream. And this boy shared these dreams with his brothers and his father. And he shared with them how in these dreams, symbolically, they were bowing down to him. And it showed in these dreams how he would someday be in a position of great power. Now, I'm not sure if this boy, in telling his brothers these dreams, had an attitude of arrogance, or whether it was just an excited boy, excited about the revelation that had been given to him. Either way, telling his brother these dreams only fueled their hatred for him. As most of you know, this is a story of Joseph, son of Jacob, as told in Genesis 37. This morning I'm going to be speaking with you about a few lessons we can learn from Joseph. I appreciate the opportunity that is given every fifth Sunday for a member of the congregation to speak in front of you. There's so many lessons that we can learn from Joseph. There isn't enough time this morning to go over all of them, of course. I'm going to be focusing on Joseph's faith and his integrity and his forgiving nature. Now, Jacob's other sons had went to let the flocks graze in Shechem. And Jacob tells Joseph to go to Shechem to check on his brothers and bring him back a report. So Joseph goes to Shechem, but he doesn't find his brothers there. But he does find a man who tells him that he believes his brothers have gone on to Dothan. So Joseph goes to Dothan, and then it says that his brothers saw him from a distance, approaching them, probably spotting this robe of many colors that his father had given him. And when they saw him, they started to conspire to kill him. And it shows them saying, "Here comes that dreamer." Now, as they're conspiring to kill him, his brother Reuben tells them, "Let's not kill our brother. Let's just throw him in a well so his blood isn't on our hands." His intention to later go back, take his brother out of the well, and take him to his father. As Joseph arrives, the first thing his brothers do is rip that robe off of him and throw him into a well. I always found it interesting that the very next thing they do is they sit and eat a meal, almost as if they had no regret about what they had conspired to do and what they were going to do. As they're sitting to eat, they see some Ishmaelite traders approaching, and they start to talk about selling their brother as a slave. And as they get there, they pull him out of the well, and they sell their brother as a slave. Imagine yourself in Joseph's position. Your brothers have just sold you as a slave. Your life is now out of your hands. You have no control over your situation. And slaves of this time didn't have the longest lifespans. They had harsh conditions to deal with, lack of nutrition, cruel and hard labor. The outlook didn't look good for Joseph. I imagine, though, probably depressed about his situation, Joseph is thinking about these dreams, these revelations that he had been given, and how from this point, from being a slave, he is ever going to attain some great position of power. You see, circumstances are the rulers of the weak. How many times do we give excuses about why we're not somewhere in life or why we haven't done something? Don't let circumstances rule your life. Use each circumstance to your advantage with God's word to guide you through life. In a book I recently read called The Traveler's Gift, written by Andy Andrews, he says, "A wise, experienced captain keeps his eye affixed on the lighthouse. He knows by guiding the ship directly to a specific point, the time and discomfort is less. And by keeping his eyes on the light, there never exists 1 second of discouragement." What is your light? Set your sights on God. Keep your ship heading for his light. You're still going to have the discomforts that come with being a Christian, but your discouragement will be a lot less because your focus is on God. Joseph couldn't deny the reality of his situation, but he definitely didn't have to accept the finality of it. I'd like to read from Genesis 39, continue on with the story, starting in verse 1. "Now Joseph had been taken down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him from the Ishmaelites who had taken him down there. The Lord was with Joseph, and he was a successful man, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. And his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all he did to prosper in his hand. So Joseph found favor in his sight and served him. Then he made him overseer of his house, and all that he had he put under his authority. So it was, from the time that he had him oversee his house and all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. And the blessing of the Lord was on all that he had in the house and in the field." Many in Joseph's situation, coming from a very rich family, he was put in a position basically overseeing his own brothers. And now he is sold as a slave. I can't help but think that I may have lost my spirit somewhere along the path to Egypt. And maybe my work ethic wouldn't have been quite what it should have been. But Joseph, it says, was a successful man. Joseph worked hard for his earthly master. And because of it, God blessed him. I'd like to read the first psalm, the first three verses. "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. Joseph did what was right, and he worked hard for his earthly master, and God made him prosper because of it. Is your delight in the Lord? Do those who oppose God's law aggravate you? Any Christian should be angry with any opposition to God's law. Do we meditate day and night? That's not just a daily Bible reading. That's a constant meditation, an active contemplation of God's word. So if we follow God's law, if we meditate on it, we shall prosper. As we continue on in the story of Joseph, we see that he is blessed greatly in Potiphar's house. He's put over the household. But Potiphar's wife has an eye for Joseph, and she wishes to lie with him. And Joseph refuses. Day after day, he refuses. Until one day, she catches him alone in the house. No one else is there. And she grabs him by his garment. And Joseph runs, leaving, unfortunately, his garment with her. Offended, she tells the servants of the house that Joseph wished to lie with her, and that when she screamed, he ran off. She lied, also lying to her husband, telling him the same story. When Potiphar finds out, he throws Joseph into prison. Here's a man who did exactly what was right, running from sin, and yet it doesn't appear that he prospered. How many times do things go wrong in our life, and we feel we're doing everything right, but things just keep going wrong, and we pray for change, but things don't seem to change? God's plan may not match our plan, and our view is so limited compared to God's. If you ask for patience, does God snap his fingers and give you patience? Or does he create the opportunity for you to gain patience? God's wisdom far exceeds anything we can comprehend. Joseph operated on faith, not circumstance. If you have faith in God, you have no reason to complain about your current circumstances. As we continue on in the story, the Lord blesses Joseph, even in prison. The keeper of the prison puts Joseph in charge over all the prisoners. Now, the butler and the baker of the king offend the king and are thrown into prison. And now the butler and baker have dreams. Joseph goes to see them and asks them, "Why are you so sad?" And they say, "Well, we've had these dreams, but we have no one to tell us the interpretation." And Joseph says, "Do not interpretations belong to God. Please, tell them to me." So they tell Joseph their dreams, and Joseph reveals God's interpretation to them. And they come true, the baker being executed and the butler being restored to his position as chief butler of the king. In telling the butler the prediction of his dream, Joseph tells him, "Please remember me." But the butler doesn't remember him. until 2 years later, when the Pharaoh himself has a dream and has no one to interpret it for him. Then the butler remembers and tells him of how Joseph had predicted his dream and the baker's dream. Pharaoh calls Joseph from the dungeon. Joseph comes to him, reveals God's interpretation of his dream to him, and not only that, he tells him what he should do to prepare for these 7 years of famine that were to come. Pharaoh sees the wisdom of Joseph, and he sees that God is with him. And Pharaoh puts him in charge over all of Egypt. In Genesis 41:44, it says, Pharaoh also said to Joseph, I am Pharaoh, and without your consent, no man shall lift his hand or foot in the land of Egypt. Sometimes it's easier to be loyal to God when times are tough. Joseph was put in a position of great power, the most powerful nation of the time, and he's put second only to Pharaoh, where Pharaoh tells him, no one should even lift a hand without asking you. But Joseph's relationship with God stays strong, and God continued to bless him throughout his life. We need to keep focus on God. Meditate on things of God's law. Walk that narrow path that leads to eternal life. Now, during these 7 years of plentiful crop, Joseph stores away one-fifth of all the produce. And then when the famine came, there was plenty of food. In fact, in Genesis 41:49, it says, Joseph gathered very much grain as the sand of the sea until he stopped counting, for it was immeasurable. When he opened up these storehouses, all nations started coming to Egypt to buy food. Now Jacob, his father, hears of all this food down in Egypt, and he sends 10 of his sons, keeping Benjamin, Joseph's full-blooded brother, there with him. Over three chapters of events, finally Joseph is in alone with his brothers. Now, I'd like to read this in Genesis 45, starting in verse 1. Then Joseph could not restrain himself before all those who stood by him. And he cried out, make everyone go out for me. So no one stood with him while Joseph made himself known to his brothers. And he wept aloud. And the Egyptians and the house of Pharaoh heard it. Then Joseph said to his brothers, I am Joseph. Does my father still live? But his brothers could not answer him, for they were dismayed at his presence. And Joseph said to his brothers, please come near me. So they came near. Then he said, I am Joseph, your brother, whom you sold into Egypt. But now, do not therefore be grieved or angry with yourselves because you sold me here, for God sent me before you to preserve life. For these 2 years, the famine has been in the land, and there are still 5 years in which there will be neither plow nor harvesting. And God sent me before you to preserve a posterity for you in the earth, and to save your lives by a great deliverance. So now it was not you who sent me here, but God. And he has made me a father to Pharaoh, a father to Pharaoh and Lord of all his house, and a ruler throughout all the land of Egypt. Hurry and go up to my father and say to him, thus says your son Joseph, God has made me Lord of all Egypt. Come down to me, do not tarry. You shall dwell in the land of Goshen, and you shall be near to me, you and your children and your children's children, your flocks and your herds and all that you have. Therefore, I will provide for you, lest you and your household and all that you have come to poverty, for there are still 5 years of famine. And behold, your eyes and the eyes of my brother Benjamin see that it is my mouth that speaks to you. So you shall tell my father of all my glory in Egypt and of all that you have seen, and you shall hurry and bring my father down here. Then he fell on his brother Benjamin's neck and wept. And Benjamin wept on his neck. Moreover, he kissed all his brothers and wept over them. And after that, his brothers talked with him. My final point this morning, I want to talk about Joseph's forgiving nature. Joseph had authority to do whatever he wanted to do. Joseph would have been totally justified to act out some form of punishment to his brothers for what they had done. But Joseph had already forgiven them because he knew it was God's will being acted out. And yes, his brothers acted on their own, but Joseph forgave them. Acting out some form of punishment maybe would have momentarily gave him some good feeling, but it only would have hindered his relationship with his father. It would have affected his mental state. When someone hurts you or does something to you, it occupies your mind for hours, maybe days, maybe even weeks. And it affects your everyday life. They may have already forgot that they did something to you. They may not even know how they've affected you. But you're hindered. Forgiveness frees you to move on. Of course, you need to have sincere forgiveness. I'd like to read Matthew 6:14. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. Think of all others have forgiven you for, forgiven you of. Think even more of what God has forgiven you of. I've heard it said, forgiveness has power only when given away. Think of all the times you've lost sleep, or maybe yelled at your kids, or spoke rashly to your wife or your spouse, because you're hindered by something someone else has done to you. Move on. Forgive them. In Ephesians 4, I'd like to read verses 31 and 32. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. If we are kind to others and we forgive others, we can put away those things. We can put away the wrath. We can put away the anger. One last reading. I'm going to finish up the story in Genesis 50. Starting in starting verse 15. When Joseph's brothers saw that their father was dead, they said, "Perhaps Joseph will hate us and may actually repay us for all the evil which we did to him." So they sent messengers to Joseph, saying, "Before your father died, he commanded, saying, 'Thus you shall say to Joseph, I beg you, please forgive the trespass of your brothers and their sin, for they did evil to you. Now please forgive the trespass of the servants of the God of your father.' And Joseph wept when they spoke to him. Then his brothers also went and fell down before his face. And they said, 'Behold, we are your servants.' Joseph said to them, 'Do not be afraid, for I am in the place of God. But as for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, in order to bring it about as it is this day, to save many people. Now therefore, do not be afraid. I will provide for you and your little ones.' And he comforted them and spoke kindly to them." Whenever I hear that Joseph spoke kindly to them, I think back to chapter 37 when it says that his brothers couldn't even say one kind word of him. Here it is, 17 years his brothers have been in Egypt with Joseph. And they still think Joseph is going to act out some form of punishment. When their father dies, they get scared, thinking maybe Joseph hasn't acted out some form of punishment because of our father. Joseph, of course, reassures them that he has forgiven them. They are forgiven. My final point this morning is to forgive yourself. We not only hinder ourselves, we not only bind ourselves by not forgiving others, but we also bind ourselves by not forgiving ourselves of the things we've done. I think Joseph's brothers needed to forgive themselves. They were still dwelling on what had happened so many years ago. Maybe you're not a Christian yet. Your opportunity is now. Forgive yourself of the things you've done. Commit yourself to the Lord and be baptized. Or maybe you've been a Christian and you've stumbled. You've done things you shouldn't have done. You've sinned. Run from it, as Joseph did. Run from that sin and come forward while we stand and sing.